Go tonight in your Bibles, Proverbs chapter number 4. Proverbs chapter number 4. I've been preparing to preach a message tonight out of Matthew chapter 18, but I feel the Lord leading us here. I don't know about you, but there's verses and places in the Bible that I go to regularly, and they help me. Verses and passages that encourage me, and they're wonderful, and they encourage me and challenge me, and I thank the Lord used them to keep me on track. And this is one of those passages of Scripture that the Lord's used in every stage of my Christian life in some form or fashion. It always shows up in a different way with a different application, but the truth always remains the same. And I want to share it with you tonight, Proverbs chapter number 4. Proverbs chapter number 4, we'll begin reading in verse number 23. Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 23. The Bible says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." Look with me in the 23rd verse. The Bible says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." We've titled the podcast that we have there on the radio and the radio broadcast that's going out, "Keep Thy Heart." And we wrote titled that because of the impact of this passage of Scripture on my life. "Keep thy heart," the Bible says, "with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Adrian Rogers said, "The heart of the human problem is a problem with the human heart." And our heart is not really that blood-pumping organ in our chest, but our heart is located right here in our heads. Our heart is our thought life. Prove it. The Bible says, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." My heart doesn't think. It just beats. Sometimes I think it thinks you probably shouldn't have ran so much. Rarely that, but that was one time a few weeks ago. My heart doesn't think, but my mind does. And the truth of the matter is, when the Bible talks about the heart of a man, it's his core. It's his everything. It's what everything revolves around. And Solomon said in Proverbs, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." How many of you ever said, "Man, I've got issues"? They come out of your heart. And everything in life, good issues, happy issues, bad issues, sad issues, all the issues of life are a result of our heart. Now, you see, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And, there's folks that think they're kitty cats. Well, that's what he thinks he is. He's got a heart problem, but it's what they think they are. Some people think that you fill in the blank, and they're convinced of things. Our heart is something that needs to be kept in check and kept in tune. The Bible says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, out of it the issues of life." Good issues, bad issues, they all come out of our heart, which is our thought life and our minds. And God says that we should wash our minds with his word. Now, the Scripture says keep. I love that word. Keep thy heart. Now, the Bible commissions us to do things. Now, we cannot work our way to heaven, for by grace he is saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You can't work your way to heaven, but I'll tell you something. You can work and you can study, and you can keep your heart, and you can work towards being complete and whole in Christ in our hearts. You see, the labor that we put forth in the Word of God, the labor that we put forth making church a priority, the labor we put forth in doing good and helping others, it is all things that add up and give us peace and joy and make a good issue in our lives. So the Bible says, keep your heart with all diligence. Now, what do we do? Keep it. I like the word keep. It's a word we don't use as much as we used to, but my grandfather, for many, many years, kept a garden. How many of you heard anybody say, what are you doing? I'm keeping the garden. My grandmother, for many years, she kept house. Mama, what are you doing today? Well, I'm just keeping house. What's that mean? Does that mean one day she got up and she cleaned the whole house and didn't touch it ever again? No. Keeping house is something that you have to do about every waking moment. Ask my wife. She has three little boys running around in the house. One happens to be bigger than the other two. And she keeps house constantly. Keeping the garden is something, it's not something that you plant it and leave it and come back. No, keeping the garden takes a lot of effort. I remember I just keep thinking of different instances of my grandfather, Bill Bice, keeping the garden. Man, there was the right way to do things, the wrong way to do things, and the Bill Bice way to do things. His way was perfect in his opinion, and he kept things right. You remember walking in Papaw's garden one time, don't you, Tracy? Man, once he had it just right, you didn't walk on the soil. I mean, it was just perfect. He kept it just right. You can go to his shop right now, and most folks don't know why there's a hole in the garage door. And there's a little circle, and there's a bolt in the top of it so that the circle, you can spin the little trap door, and the hole is revealed in the garage door. That is there so that you can put a rifle barrel through it and still see the sights and shoot groundhogs out of the garden without being detected by the groundhog. It has a purpose. That's keeping the garden. He kept the garden. It was important. It's something that was dealt with every day. I mean, he planned it. He thought about it. When it was cold outside, he had this wheelbarrow that he made in little styrofoam cups, and tomato plants were growing out of it because he kept seed the year before. Keeping the garden is something that you have to do, and it's something you do consistently. It's something you do persistently. It's something you do intentionally. And the result, it feeds lots of people. Keeping the house, it's something that has to be done consistently and constantly. But the result is a happy home and a family. It's well trained and cared for. The Bible says that we are to keep our heart with all diligence. For out of it, the issues of life. The result of a heart that is kept. So I got saved one time, hallelujah, the end. A heart that is kept, that's a heart that every day is being fed God's word. Every week is finding fellowship with God's people in a local church. That's a heart that says, I'm going to stay away from wickedness and sinful influences. That's a heart that's protected. When the varmint shows up, a kept heart does away with the varmint. You know what I mean? The Bible says, keep your heart. Because if you don't, out of it come all the issues of life. Good ones and bad ones. But if you don't keep it, the bad ones come. The weeds spring up and choke out the fruit. And it's sad to see it, but we watch it all around us. People we know and love, their gardens have overgrown with weeds, and their opportunity to bear fruit and produce in their lives is over because they have failed and neglected to keep their heart. May God help us to keep our heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. There's some interesting things in this passage of Scripture. Look what the Bible says in verse 24. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. How can you tell what's in your heart? Let's do a heart check right now. How can you tell what's in your heart? I want you to think back over the last two or three days. What has consumed your conversation? What have you talked more about in the last 3 days than anything else? Think about it for a second. Now, the Bible says this, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Somebody said it like this, what's in the well comes up in the bucket. And what's in your heart comes out your mouth. Now, have your words pleased God? Are your words seasoned with grace? Are your words righteous? It doesn't have to be talk about church all the time. As a matter of fact, this time of the year, I can smell deer hunting in the air. And I've been talking about it some. But if we keep our hearts, guess what? When we keep our hearts, our mouths testify to the goodness that's in our heart, or our mouths testify to the rottenness that's in our heart. How'd you do on the test? Well, when you see what's in your heart, then God reminds you that you probably need to do a little bit of keeping. Keep it. Keep your heart. The test of your heart is your mouth. The Bible says, put away from thee a froward mouth. What does he want you to do? Put it away. You got a froward mouth. You got a mouth that's not pleasing the Lord, that's out of bounds. Put it away. The Bible says, perverse lips, put far from thee. Stop it. But if you're going to fix your mouth, you're going to fix your heart. If you work on your heart, your mouth will automatically change. I remember when I ceased to be bilingual, there was a short season in my childhood that I spoke both English and profanity. And God saved me and changed my life. I was already saved, but God did a work in my heart at church camp. Preacher Chuck, I was in seventh grade, and when I was slipping around behind my, I would never say anything bad in front of my mother. I was scared to. Maybe a little later I did, but not much. I was scared to, and rightfully so. But I had a little season there where, as we say it, potty mouth was pretty bad. Preacher Chuck preached a message out of the Ten Commandments on thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And God convicted me. And you know what happened? I heard the word. It washed my mind. And from that point forward, the cursing and the filthy mouth just went away. God changed my heart. And the direct result was my mouth changed. And I am so thankful. I'm so thankful. The Bible says, put away from thee for a mouth. The test of your heart is your mouth. Then let's consider number two, the pathway to your heart. How do you get there? The pathway to your heart. The Bible says in verse 25, let thine eyes look right on. Let thine eyelids look straight before thee. How do you affect your mind or with your senses? The pathway to your heart, it's your eyes, your ears, your nose, your touch. You see, everything that I know is a direct result of what has been, how my mind has been affected by my senses. The only way I know who my father is because a long time ago I saw him, I heard him, and it was explained to me that that's your dad. Somebody told me that, taught me. It affected my mind, and my senses testify to the fact that that's my dad. That's my wife. How did I get to know her? Well, I saw her at Walmart for the very first time. It was wonderful. And then, I was interested a little bit in Walmart, but I'll tell you what really did it. We're in class together as freshmen. Look at her. I'm not sure if I'm going to tell all this or just part of it. We're in class together. Now, the first time I just saw her, there were other times that she was a Thomas, I was a Sturgill. And she sat right behind me. She was a little bit habitual about being right on time for class, if you know what I mean. She'd slide in sideways into her seat, and I could just look right over my shoulder, and there she sat. And I thought, man, she's cute. Man, she's cute. Sometimes her hair was wet, and I could kind of smell her. I thought, she smells good too. How'd I fall in love with her? Well, my eyes, my nose. Then I heard her sing one time. Oh, hallelujah. My ears. You see, my eyes and my ears, my nose, they taught me about her and changed my heart, and my heart was smitten by her. That's what the Bible says. And the Bible says you need to be careful what you look at. You need to be careful what you hear. You need to be careful what you touch, what you smell, because, hey, the pathway to your heart that's going to change everything is your senses. That's why the Bible says, let thine eyes look right on. Because before you know, the things you look at change who you are. Before I knew it, I was checking Ruthie out, and I wanted to marry her. It took me a couple years to convince her. But I was convinced pretty fast. You see, it's my heart. And the same way that it was a positive thing in this situation, man, you look at something that you know is wrong, but your flesh wants it bad. You know what you need to do? Run for your life. Stop looking at it. Stop tasting it. Stop smelling it. Don't let it near your senses, because it's going straight to your heart. And out of your heart will come everything. That's why God says, keep your heart with all diligence. You see, the pathway to your heart, the pathway to your heart is your senses. And we must keep our heart, guard it. What is it that is being brought up in your life that's causing your heart to veer away from God? Whatever it is, stop looking at it. Whoever it is, stop listening to them. Whatever it is, it may be something on Facebook that just sets you off and messes you. Stop looking at it. It may be something you flip through the channels and see. Hey, God has commissioned you. Keep your heart. Guard it. You may have to roll the little door up, stick the gun barrel through the door, and pull the trigger. Because that sucker's going to mess things up. Stay away from sin. Keep your heart. You see, the test of your heart is your mouth. The path to your heart is your senses. The destination of your heart is your feet. Look what the scripture says. Verse number 26. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. The destination of your heart can be judged by your feet. Which way are you pointing right now? Not physically. Let's just consider the pattern of the last 3 days. Maybe we need to back up a little bit. The pattern of the last 3 weeks. If this is heaven and pleasing God, and this is the flesh and turning from God, where are your feet? Where are you going? The last 3 weeks, have you been I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day? Or is it the other direction? Where's your feet? Do you know, this is so profound, if you're going this direction, you're not pleasing God. If your feet are turned toward the flesh and the world, then you're not pleasing God. There are folks who say, boy, I want to please God. Oh, I want to please God. And they're on their way to pleasing the flesh. I want to please God. And they keep walking towards the flesh and the devil. Oh, I want to please God. But they don't keep their heart. They want to please God, but they don't attend church. They want to please God, but they don't read their Bibles. They want to please God, but they don't live principled lives. Oh, I want to please God. The whole time, their feet's pointing away from God. Hey, look, if you're pointing that direction and you keep doing the same thing that's caused you grief all along, then you're just going to keep going the wrong way. Wishing, thinking, dreaming, I want to. That doesn't cut it. What produces a heart that pleases God? Keeping your heart. You see, there's got to come a place where you say, hold on, I am backslidden. My heart's wicked. I'm not doing right. and you turn and you get your feet pointing in the right direction. Ponder. That's what the Bible says. Ponder the path of your feet. Well, do it. Think about it for a minute. Ponder. That means think about it. Ponder the path of your feet. Don't ponder the path of mine. Ponder the path of your feet. How's your attitude? How's your walk with the Lord? How's your relationship with other people? Ponder it. Which direction are your feet pointing? By the way, if your feet are pointing nowhere, that's where you're going. Neutral? You can't be neutral. Ponder the path of your feet. The Bible says it like this. Let all thy ways be established. Let all thy ways be, that means ordered and right. Let your ways be established. An ordered and a right life has a routine that pleases God, that includes God. Bible reading, prayer, church. Let all thy ways be established. The Bible says in verse 27, turn not to the right hand or the left. Point your feet and go. And then it says this really simple. Remove thy foot from evil. If you realize your feet are going the wrong way, stop it. Just stop it. You may need some help. Call the preacher. I'll help you. I'll encourage you. I'll pray with you. And we'll bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. But remove your foot from evil. Why? Because everything is on the line. Everything. Everything's on the line. You see, because out of your heart comes the issues of life. And so God says, keep it. Nobody ever intends to ruin their life. You haven't ever stood in a group of people and said, I never heard a kid stand in a group of kids and say, what do you want to be when you grow up? I've never heard one of them speak up and say, you know what I want to do? I want to completely ruin my life. Wouldn't that be wonderful? No, they want to be doctors and lawyers and truck drivers and trash men, and they want to do something noble with their lives. But among the kids I've stood in those circles and talked, numerous of them have ruined their lives. Why? They didn't keep their heart. I've never stood at a wedding, a marriage altar, and I've had the privilege of officiating in many weddings. I've never stood across where two people stood across from each other and said, till death do us part, and I didn't feel like they meant it. But I've seen marriages break to pieces. Because you don't intend, when you're saying I do, to say for a short time. But it happens, right? What's the why? Someone or both parties failed to keep their heart with all diligence. And out of it came an issue of life that's not good. Someone said it like this. I love it. We're sow and reap, right? You sow and you reap. You reap what you sow, and you reap more than you sow. So, if you sow a thought, keep your heart. If you sow a thought, you reap a deed. I wanted that. I thought about it. I wanted it. I thought about it. I went and bought it. I sowed a thought. I reaped a deed. When you sow a deed, you reap a habit. I'm reminded of someone that is a drunkard. You think about it, you do it. Sow a thought, reap a deed. Sow a deed, reap a habit. You didn't intend for it to become a habit, but it happened. That's what sin does. Sow a habit, you reap a character. That's not just something that you do habitually. It's something that folks know you do habitually. And you may not even realize it. But you have a character. That person is, you fill in the blank. It's their character. It's who they are. It's what they've become. And when you sow a character, you reap a destiny. Folks, your destiny begins with your thoughts. And God so wisely and perfectly in His Word says it just like this. In light of that truth, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep your heart. How's your mouth? How's your eyes? Where are your feet? God says, keep your heart. Let's pray.